Listen up, Sydney. There's a new kid in town. Mick Molloy has come to play with the big boys. And there's no bigger boy than the King of the West, the Wild Panther, MG. So buckle up. This is going to be one hell of a ride. Mick and MG in the morning. What could go wrong?
The Kardashians have had a complicated relationship with food for some time.
I have cake up my nostrils.
Is this a hairless peach?
This one went and got a Brazilian.
Okay, so we get the idea. Now, Kourtney Kardashian, she is, well, she's into eating in the bathroom. She's posted on her website, her Instagram site, Poosh. Or as she likes to call it when she's on the toilet eating, Poosh.
Oh, that didn't sound nice. I apologise.
That wasn't ideal. That was Kourtney.
Hey, don't blame me. Blame the Kardashians. Now, there's been a negative reaction. So she's posted a half-eaten burger was placed on her toilet seat next to a glass of water, while a bag of chips lay beneath a dirty towel nestled next to Kardashian's tub. I'm going to put it to the team here, and I think we've got some for and some against.
Yep.
Let's start with Natasha Belling. You'd be woofing a bag of Doritos in the tub or on the toot, wouldn't you?
Absolutely not. The Kardashians are everything that is wrong with this world. I cannot stand any of them. They're famous for nothing.
All right. Wow. Well, it's a good point, but she has 226 million followers on her Poosh. She's like, do you eat in the bathroom?
Absolutely not. It's incredibly unhygienic. I do not understand why you can't wait. They have to be separate. You do not have the kitchen anywhere near the bathroom.
Okay. Can I ask you this? Have you ever gone to the toilet in the kitchen? Okay. Don't answer that question.
Maybe on Monday night she did. Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Now, MG, I think you're going to take the counter position on this one.
Yes, I am. My bathroom's one of the cleanest places in our house. I don't mind having a snack in the toilet.
No,
I don't
it's
mind.
Not.
I don't mind finishing my coffee off. This morning I did the same thing. I was having a cup of coffee, enjoying it. I had to go to the toilet, so I took the coffee with me.
To the toilet. Yeah. And are you still eating toast?
Yeah, still always have toast. Yeah.
Right, you got toast in one hand, coffee in the other, and you're just freeballing downstairs.
It happens when you're doing our hours and you get up early, you've got to make the most of everything. So I don't mind eating in the bathroom, in the bath, have a bottle of champagne and some strawberries. Come on, what's wrong with it? I mean, everyone does it, don't they?
I like to eat in the bathroom. It just gets a little confronting for my Uber Eats driver who has to drop it off.
Yes.
Thanks, mate.
Leave it there, mate.
Just leave it over there. Don't get the bag soggy. That's my only problem with chicken McNuggets, because when you drop a nugget in the
bath,
you still fish it out. Am I right, fellas?
Of course you do.
No, you don't. You leave it. Or you fish it out.
What about you, Kat? Kat, are you?
No to the toilet, but the bath, I could have an entire meal. In fact, I have a tray trestle thing that goes across the bath.
Yep.
So I could literally eat it, and then I set up a laptop and watch a movie.
What's wrong with you people?
That is awesome. Kat's painted a great picture.
And she gets out, she looks like she's 78. She's wrinkled up. She's been in there
for 2 days.
Look, I would do it, but like trying to eat a kebab and wipe at the same time, it's like that thing where you have to pat your head and rub your stomach.
On one leg.
You can't get everything done at the one time. I often use the steam from the bath to steam my dim sims, but beyond that. Is there a policy? I'd like to see a cooking show that's set in a bathroom.
Yes.
With Nigella Lawson?
Nigella Lawson, hello. Wow. I'll have what she's having.
Make a little bubble bra from the bath suds.
Oh, good really.
Okay, someone always has to take it too far, don't they?
It's me, clearly. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. I tell you what, you guys, if you want a kind of a minestrone-style soup, you're always welcome to come around and drink my dirty bath water.
Oh, rotten.
Bring your own ladles.
Oh, yuck.
Their tight-ass watch. There's some hardcore tight-asses out there right now, and they need to be named, they need to be shamed. You know one, I know one, everyone knows one. 133353, it's all in honour this morning. have this New South Wales woman who spent no money in 8 years.
Wow.
Has not spent a single cent. And here we are talking about the cost of living and the impact it's having on us. Nothing for Jo Namath from Northern New South Wales. Quit a job in 2014 because she felt every time she spent her money, it was harming someone. That's a good reason not to put your hand in your pocket. I'm on to you, Jo. Well, let's let her explain how she's been doing it.
I knew some people who lived up the road who had a farm. Maybe I can go and live there on their property and help them out. I organised with them to build a little shack out of recycled materials, and I lived there and I helped garden, I helped look after the kids, and I built myself a little rocket stove and use twigs and sticks to burn. I did use their water from their dam. A friend of mine had a cafe at the time. When you go to a cafe, often they'll put a serviette under your coffee cup. So yeah. She saved all of those for me, and I used those as toilet paper.
All right.
Just got all my friends and family to hold on to their old tubes of toothpaste when they were going to throw them out, and
yeah.
Get the tiniest bit of toothpaste out.
Oh. Yeah. Dating's going to be hard for her, isn't it? Really? I'm okay if napkins go that way, from underneath your coffee cup to toilet paper, but if it's the other way, that's not a good cafe.
No.
That is not a good, good cafe. What a tight ass. Yeah. That is incredible. I don't want to go to her place for dinner. I really don't.
No.
And I know a tight ass. You know a tight ass. I've got a mate she should date because he hasn't shouted in 8 years. Hey. You know, and it used to be fun to watch. Remember in the old days, you'd go, he's off to the toilet again, it's his round. Oh, he's taking a phone call. Oh, no, he's out the front talking to a friend. But in the era of $15 schooners, no. That caper is done and dusted. What about this woman who has told us how she sneaks in a bottle of wine into a music festival in a hollowed-out loaf of sourdough?
It's tight ass.
It's smart.
Now, that's a tight ass. You could possibly, buy some alcohol. No. Well, tight ass or genius, MG?
Yeah.
Here's the question as far as I'm concerned. A loaf of sourdough. Who's going to look inside a loaf of sourdough for alcohol? My problem is I'd need a loaf of sourdough the size of a keg.
Yes. I'd need a couple of 12-inch Subways.
Yeah, a six-pack of Subways. Gee, Mick, you're hungry today? Yep. I'm on to my seventh Subway. I'm on to my seventh foot long. We've got some calls already on the line. Let's take one. Braden's calling. Braden, you've got someone who's a bit of a tight ass.
Yeah, boys. I've got to wrap my brother out for this one. He's 19. Bloody had to go to the shop or to work a couple of weeks back and was too lazy to refuel his car, so asked if he could use mine. But the bastard has $10,000 in his savings.
Oh, hang on. He didn't want to fill his tank, so he's borrowed your car.
He wanted to. I told him he can go shovel with the sun don't shine, but yeah.
There you go. Alex is on the line. Alex, a tight ass?
Yeah, it was my uncle, eh? So we were down at the beach one day going for a swim and whatnot and got out of the water and he goes, oh, let's go get a couple of slices of bread for a sandwich. We'll go home and we'll make a couple of sandwiches. Anyway, we went into the bakery, and he goes, oh, can I buy a couple of slices of bread? And the lady just, fluently handed over a loaf of bread and he goes, no. I only want a couple of slices because there's only us, so we only need four slices. And the girl was looking at him like, "What do I do?" And she looked at me, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't know what this is." Like I was just as surprised as she was, and anyway.
Four slices of bread, please. That is embarrassing behaviour. Well done, Alex. John's on the line. John, tight ass behaviour.
Hey guys, how are we?
Hello,
it was my dad when he was alive. He was that tight. We grew up on a farm, and we only really had running cold water. He wouldn't spring for a hot water system.
Oh, wow.
So he used to boil the jug to wash up, and we had a bath, but he'd boil the copper, and we'd have to cart the water from the copper with buckets into the bath to fill the bloody thing up. Hey,
he's living in Dickensian times, your old man. That's not fun at all. That's not five star.
Oh my God, he was tight.
Lovely.
Look, call me old fashioned. I don't need a mint on the pillow, but no. hot water is kind of a prerequisite for me. Eddie's on the line. Eddie, who's the tight ass?
Unfortunately, one of my mates, Troy, that I used to go to karaoke with in Newtown.
That's a good way to start a sentence.
Yes, that old one.
We used to always do get to first round, second round, third round. Now, for some reason, every time I got to his round, and he was one of these like buggers that like everyone would get a beer or a soft drink, he'd have to go bourbon, so expensive.
He's draining.
All of a sudden he developed two left feet. Deliberately stumble up to the bar when it was his round to go up and get himself cut off.
Oh wow! I thought you were going to say every time it was his round, he's going to go for he was singing a song at karaoke.
Songs. I think the worst song that he picked was I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman by Britney Spears.
Oh, that'll get you chucked out.
That'll get you chucked out.
Either way, good story. My old man was on the big things, he was fantastic, but he would occasionally, if you're going into town, would drive around looking for a parking meter that still had time on it.
Oh. Yeah. What is it with old men? Because when we first lived in a housing commission house in Mount Druitt in Wayland. And I said, Dad, we need some chalk to, you know, draw some lines on the road so we can play handball. So he said, no worries. Went and hit the side of the house, the fibro, like put a chunk in it. He said, there's your chalk. So we draw the chalk lines with fibro from the house. It looked like cheddar cheese in the end.
You know, it's a fine line between genius and tight ass, but I'm going to pay genius one of the greats, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to live entertainment. Hey, comedy genius, if I don't mind saying so myself, the great Ross Noble joins us live on the program.
Roscoe.
Ross, from our Melbourne studio today. You've just been to Adelaide. You've opened last night in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and you're on your way to Sydney to join us up here so we can enjoy your comic stylings in Jibber Jabber Jamboree. Great name. How'd you come up with that?
I thought, I need something. I went, oh, what do I do during the show? What's it about? It's me just jibber-jabbering. And I just went, I can't just call it jibber-jabber. People will think that it's a tribute to Mr. T.
Could you jibber-jabber fool?
And I thought, if I add the word jamboree, then people will distance myself from Mr. T. And,
what's a jamboree? What is a jamboree?
I think a jamboree is a sort of, the scouts used to have them. It's a get-together.
The scouts used to have a jamboree.
It's a community, it's an uplifting community get-together. And then...
Do you require anything from the audience? Like, is it like a fireside thing? Jamboree, you think of everyone, a bit of a kumbaya kind of circle of life.
Yeah, and bring some marshmallows. Look,
if there is a fire during the show, I have failed at my job. I mean, that's the number one thing. It's just going, oh, it was amazing. It was like we were all sat around the fire as they burnt the theatre down. There was, in fact, last night, get this right, yes. I couldn't believe this last night. And this woman, she's been to the show before. I walk out and then she turns up there. She's carrying a dog with her, right?
Oh, wow.
Now, straight away, if somebody's carrying a dog, you think, that's not a guide dog, that. Because the minimum requirement for a guide dog is that they're very much, they have to be in charge. They have to be on the floor. They're leading. And I'm thinking, hang on, she's got this all wrong here. Has she got a blind dog and she's carrying it around? There's been a terrible administrative error here. And then she's walked in and she sat the dog down. Like, she sat down, she's got the dog on her lap. And I realise it's an emotional support dog. People who, each to their own. I mean, some people opt for medication. Some people go, no, I need the medication in the form of a dog.
What type of dog was it?
Like a Paris Hilton dog or?
I thought you said a paracetamol dog. It was made of paracetamol. She was licking it. No, it was a sort of, it looked like kind of Kelpie. And then I realised, I went, is that an emotional support dog? And then I realised she'd been to the show last year. She'd walked in last year and put the dog on the... I went, because I recognised the dog. And hang on, I've met that dog before. And she put the dog on the stage.
What?
She put the dog on the stage. And I thought, I know that dog. And then sure enough, and I flashed back. It was like the part two of another of last year's show. And I realised the dog was on the stage and the dog was freaking out. And I realised the dog now requires a smaller emotional support guinea pig. And then maybe the guinea pig isn't used to being with the dog. Guinea pigs have got everything's a predator to it. The guinea pig's freaking out. He's going to need an emotional support mouse and so on and so far until you end up with it. So, yeah, it was very odd. So it's not often that I have people... You wouldn't call a dog livestock, would you? But
Why did she put the dog on the stage? Did you ask her to, or did she just think that was helping you somehow, or it would inspire you, or
have a good view, I suppose?
Or maybe she was emotionally stable at that point and just went, "Hang on, I don't need the dog at the moment.
I don't need the dog anymore. He looks more unstable than me. His bloke's all over the shop. Here, have my support dog." Are you just loving it being back in your natural habitat?
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. It's just the fact that you know that it's not going to get cancelled. You know, that's
It's
funny because you know the show's not going to get cancelled, but you're not sure whether I'm going to get cancelled. You know who's going to...
Well, that's another one.
Metaphorically speaking.
I'm going to describe the show to you. It's a freewheeling event. Is that... have I captured the spirit of it? It's a kind of stream of consciousness, psychobabble, all rolled into a Beckett-like structure that just sees you basically. Do you have any structure when you go on stage? Do you know what you're doing, or are you just following the last thing to come out of your mouth?
I love what the is fact it? That you've. Yeah, I love the fact you've said it's Beckett-like. I'm glad you said it, because if you put that on a press release and just go, it's very reminiscent of Beckett. I bet some critic would come along and go, oh yeah, waiting for punchlines more like, never mind Godot.
Well, this is your 21st stand-up solo material. Yeah. Where do you source your material over such a long period? Are you a watcher of people? Do you kind of, you know, where do you get it?
Oh, look, it's one of those, as Mick says, jibber-jabber is, look...
Self-explanatory, isn't it?
Very much so.
You're telling people what this show is.
Yeah. There's no profundity in anything that I do. Let me make that quite clear.
Okay.
And, you know, some comedians, you know, like they troll their innermost soul, or they talk about, like, their deep personal thoughts. Like, I'll be watching telly, and, you know, you'll have those, like... you know, the stable table, for example, and I'll get something in my head. It won't go away. So it could be anything. Like, I might see somebody with unusual shoes, and then, or like here's an example.
There's half an hour there.
Yeah, I was in Adelaide, right? This is something that I got obsessed with for the month, right? I stood at the checkout at the supermarket, and there's a guy, and this would probably only really happen in Adelaide. This guy stood next to me. And I wish I'd asked him what he was planning that night, right? But so I speculated every night of Adelaide. I was speculating what this guy was up to. He had two items, right? And I looked across, I laughed in his face, and he sort of ran away before I had an idea, before I had a chance. And he had two items, and the woman put something, bleep, bleep. The two items he had, right, in the supermarket, bunch of flowers and a cucumber. Now, what is going... And it's one of those things where, and most people would have just let that go. And for a solid month, all I could think about was, what was he planning? What was he planning? Was he on his way to the, was he on the way then? Knock, 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 flowers. And I brought you this, get out, you know. Or did she say, could you, just come over later, bring a cucumber? And she's answered the door with a half-finished Greek salad, and he's going, "Oh, this isn't the way I thought it was going to go." And then, or was the did he think, "Oh, some women like flowers, some women like cucumbers," and then
covered.
You know, like you turn up to somebody's, he's, "Oh, you got to come to my relative's funeral." And he goes, "Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll write the word nan in cucumbers." And she was like, "You idiot. Should have been flowers." So something like that.
Wow.
Where it's literally so, and then for a solid month, I just spend. Yeah, my entire brain is consumed with what was he up to? What was that cucumber character up to?
From rugby league brawls to media scrums, from green grass stains to red carpet burns, from hit-ups to Hollywood. With the latest in entertainment news, it's OMG MG.
OMG MG.
Well, the former president has been everywhere in Sydney, and he and his wife, Michelle, yesterday were given special permission to climb Sydney Harbour Bridge and get this, without safety harnesses.
What?
Yeah, without.
What? That is not on. I don't care if you've been the most powerful man in the world. You climb it like everyone else.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
So what happened? So they went up sans harness.
Yeah, well, the Obamas and their entourage were allowed to walk over the coat hanger, as we call it affectionately in Sydney here, without having to wear the jumpsuits, which everyone has to agonisingly get into them when their fire size is too small. And the safety apparatus usually required to by an operator of bridge climb. So they've kind of broken all protocols because he's an ex-president. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. He didn't have to pay. Didn't have to
I don't
pay
care
a toll
if, you, if you're the Pope. You pop on your jumpsuit. I'd love to see the Pope. Man, I'd love to see the Pope, though, climb the Harbour Bridge. He's had it get blown off. He's had it get blown off. And his skirt would blow up like Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. You could see his balls.
You see these massive cags.
Wow. Do you know, this is true, there was a thing called the testicle chair.
Yep.
Listen, Tash, come back. It's called the testicle chair, and it was because of a pope back in the day, may have been Pope Joan, who turned out to be a woman, right? Oh, wow. They found out it was a woman, and so thereafter, every pope had to sit on a testicle chair. I'm not making this up. And basically, you know, like a car that's up on blocks, the testicle chair would be up on blocks, and people would come in underneath and check out, do a stock take, go, yeah. Testy one, testy two.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be great.
Pope's good
job.
To go.
Because the church can't have any women in power because that would be
that'd be
the end of the world.
And that's why there's no weird views sexually within the Vatican. We need one here. I want a testicle chair.
Yep.
And I'm going to sit on it every morning. And
I would mind a chair right here just so we'd have to go for toilet breaks all the time. Just let us do it here in the studio.
No, you can't use it. Mate, you don't use the testicle chair. What are you doing, MG? It's just to check out.
Oh.
And everything's in its place. You can't snap one off. While people are having a look at the testicle chair.
Oh, we've lost
Last thing you want to do is be dumped on by a pope. That would just be the end of it. All right, move on, please.
Okay, well, Sir Rod Stewart is in the news again. he's been to... The opera house?
You won't let this go. Ever since you heckled him, since you heckled him down on the rocks, you've been after him. Yep. What's he done?
Well, Sir Rod Stewart made his way out to my neck of the woods yesterday. He was spotted in Pendle Hill outside the Woodpecker Model Railway Trains shop, posing for a picture with the staff. Apparently, he's an avid train collector. And at Pendle Hill out there at Woodpecker Model Railway shop, he went and got some stuff for his collection back home. Oh,
that's a big day down the model railway shop when Rod Stewart bursts through the door, isn't it? He's with the lead singer from Simply Red.
Mick Ucknall.
Mick Ucknall. He looks like he could be a train spotter. And what did he do? Did he buy anything?
Yeah, well, apparently he did. The owner, Marilyn, said that I knew he was a train collector, and he has been for a while, so he just bought a few nicks and knacks, and off he went. They've got their photo with him, like we tried to do on Monday at the Fortune.
Come to think of it, he was wearing his Casey Jones hat the other day, wasn't he? He had a little Casey Jones hat on.
He's very tiny.
He's a jockey. He looks like a jockey.
Mm. Oh, he's about 112. Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, you give him a... He looked a bit frail when we saw him live,
indeed.
Didn't he? I mean, I'd love to see him in concert, but, I'd get there early. I don't know if he's... I reckon a quick show is a good show with the way Rod Stewart was looking. I don't know if they need roadies or someone with those ECG machines. Stand clear.
or the puppeteer.
Quick, get him up for Maggie May. Stop. Doug Mulray ruled since 1982, and rarely does an entire city get taken by one man, and he was the man. He is legendary, a legendary radio performer. As you say, I came from Melbourne. I didn't know much about him, but we knew all about him. Mm. We knew how huge he was. And for anyone doing comedy, particularly going into radio and breakfast radio, he was considered the biggest star in the firmament. And he did rule Sydney Breakfast for a long time. A lot of us who do this for a job owe him a great debt. He paved the way in many ways. He was got on the FM train as it was leaving the station and just dominated it. He worked with some of the greats. He transformed Triple M Sydney, and his impact, reverberated all around Australia. And this is an important passing, and especially for people in our industry. And I imagine there's a lot of people out there in Sydney today who will pause and think of how he affected their lives and where they were when they heard their favourite bits and the idiocy he got up to over the years. He just, he was a pioneer and a maverick, and what he did will probably never be surpassed in terms of what we're doing. MG, you would have grown up around him, with him on radio. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, he was the godfather. He was the man. I remember being in about year 8 or 9 at school, and all of a sudden this guy come on this new FM station called Triple M, and it was kind of surround sound, and it was just something different. And the fact that he was pushing the boundary every time he was on radio, and all my vintage, and you know, we're very similar, Mickey, in age, and our vintage, that early to mid 50s, who grew up with this guy, and Mick, I met him on many occasions. I used to travel into Bondi to do maybe a sport report here or something there. But the day we in 1991, we were sponsored by Triple M on our sleeve sponsors, and myself and Brad Fittler and Greg Alexander and Benny Alexander went into the Triple M studios in Bondi, and there's a famous photo, it was on the front page of the Daily Mirror or the Daily Telegraph, whatever it was back then, with basically Doug Mulray with his hands on the heads of Greg, Freddie and Ben, and blessing them for the grand final. He was a character. He was a quite shy guy away from the camera, from the microphone, if you will. He was a performer, no doubt. But as soon as he kind of hung up the headphones, he was a recluse. He headed for the hills, and not much is known about his last 10 to 15 years. But what we do know is that today is a sad, sad day. And it's, as you mentioned, Mickey, it's never, if to even think that something Doug Mulray could be on the radio these days, well, he'd be off in 8 seconds. He'd be gone.
Yeah. Yeah, times have changed. He was going around in the halcyon days of FM radio where he could do or say just about anything, and he did. I was fortunate enough to go on his show a couple of times as a guest, and that was always a nerve-wracking experience because anything could happen. You had to sit on your helmets, basically, buckle up and just hang on till the end because he was just always outside the box. He was reclusive. We didn't see much of him in later life. The last thing I saw was a package he provided at the Radio Awards Hall of Fame induction, which would have been 4 or 5 years ago, I think. And it was great to see him, and to see him getting around still with his wits about him. So, look, there's going to be a lot of love and a lot of people talking about him today. You should enjoy the life and the times of one of the greats, Doug Mulray.
Mick Malloy, MG in the morning.